You're listening to Spurs Test, episode 470. My name is Paul Garcia, and I'm the host of the Spurs Test. Joining me on episode 470 is Project Spurs' own Benjamin Bornstein. You can follow him on Twitter at @the_Boomstein. In this conversation between Ben and I, we discuss the Spurs' last four games against the Milwaukee Bucks, the Chicago Bulls, Dallas Mavericks, and Minnesota Timberwolves, where the Spurs went 2-2. We take a little bit of a deep dive into the Spurs' turnovers issue this season. That's kind of been a staple in their losses, so I kind of get Ben's thoughts on what's going on there in that department. And then lastly, we talk about their second quarters, where they're having some trouble in the second quarters of ball games, and that's kind of been a reason why that's led to six losses for them so far through this season early on without Kawhi Leonard, Tony Parker. Then, of course, lastly, we look at the Spurs' Twitter questions that you all sent to us using the hashtag SpursCast. And then we preview some upcoming games for the Spurs. So please enjoy the conversation with Project Spurs' Ben Bornstein.
And now joining me on the Spurs cast from Atlanta, Georgia, is Project Spurs' own Benjamin Bornstein. Ben, how you doing, man?
I am fantastic, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Ben, it's going to be kind of a quick show. There's not too much going on with the Spurs. You know, it's kind of the last four games, we'll review them. And then just there's not too much going on, you know, especially considering that their best player, Kawhi Leonard, is still out. You can't really put too much into how the Spurs have done in those last four games. So let's go to begin here. First, Ben, I just want to get your general thoughts on the Spurs' last four games. As I mentioned, they lost to the Bucks at home on last Friday by 7 points. Then the following night, they go out and blow out the Bulls by 39 points on Saturday in San Antonio. They had a few days off, then they hit the road and they went to Dallas. They beat the Mavs by six, but really they had a comfortable, you know, double-digit lead there. Lastly, as of Wednesday evening, the Spurs lost to the Minnesota Timberwolves by 12 points, where San Antonio got it to a five-point game in the fourth quarter. Danny Green missed an open three, and then Minnesota made some plays down the stretch, and they pretty much put it away. So, Ben, the Spurs are 9-6 right now. They went 2-2 in their last four games. John Diaz and I had thought they would go 3-1. We thought they'd lose to Minnesota, but we thought they would have beat the Bucks, but that kind of didn't go the way we had predicted. So what did you think overall, just your general thoughts of the Spurs' last four games?
I mean, they beat the teams they should have for sure in the Bulls and the Mavericks, so that's good to see. I thought they should have beat the Bucks, but I think without a Kawhi Leonard, it becomes very, very difficult to guard a guy like Giannis Antetokounmpo. Who do you put on him that can make a difference? So that's a tough guard without Kawhi. I think that the Timberwolves game was frustrating. I feel like that's a very winnable game. I know the Wolves are much, much better this year, and they have superstars now, but they have been a little bit they haven't quite lived up to the expectations they were given in the preseason. So I think that was a very winnable, and I don't think the Timberwolves have quite gelled together yet, and I think you could probably say the same for those who are still without Tony Parker, Kawhi Leonard, and now Derek White. White doesn't mean as much, but Parker and Kawhi Leonard solidify other guys' roles, and I think that's way more important than just the fact of them being on the floor. Granted, they're great players. They do make a difference when they're on the floor, but when they are available and playing, they also make other guys' roles much more defined. Because right now, everybody's been commenting on it. We have dribbling Danny Green, who's making dribble moves, and it actually doesn't look terrible, but it is concerning because he's not Tony Parker. He's trying to do sort of Tony Parker things. So, I thought 2-2 was okay. I think 3-1 should have been an expectation, like you and John predicted. I think that should have been the expectation for that particular stretch. But 2-2, I'm not going to be terribly mad about.
Yeah, and for me, I think the biggest thing is that they were in those losses. They had Milwaukee within a few possessions, and like I mentioned against Minnesota, down in the last 6 minutes, they were right there. Had Danny Green made that three-pointer that was wide open, maybe they end up coming back and tying them or taking them to overtime, something like that. So it's more about the Spurs' turnovers, which we're going to get into in a little bit. But, you know, being without Kawhi and being without Parker, they were in those ball games. So they do have to take some hope in that these are some of the better teams in the NBA, and they were right there with them. And as you mentioned, you know, they have nobody that can guard Giannis, especially when they were turning the ball over and giving it right to him in the open court. And then same thing for Karl Anthony Towns. You know, they had Pau Gasol guarding him most of the night, and that was just an unfair matchup. Pau had no chance stopping that 1-5 pick and roll between Carl Anthony Towns and Jeff Teague. So overall, yeah, John and I were wrong, but you know, 2-2 is actually okay considering you're missing your best player who was an MVP candidate coming into the year. So Ben, one thing that's been kind of a trend in these losses is the turnovers. So right now in wins, the Spurs are only turning the ball over 13.3 times per game, which would be ranked first in the league had that, if that's a whole season stat. The losses, though, they go up to 16.5 turnovers per game, which increases to 24th in the league, which is obviously a bottom five turnover team. And for the season, they're actually okay. They're at 14.6 turnovers per game, which is ranked sixth in the league. They're a top 10 team in terms of turning over, in terms of taking care of the ball, should I say. Now, against Milwaukee, they had 18 turnovers, and then against Minnesota, they had 16. So, Ben, my question to you is, in these losses, do you think it's more about a lot of new guys like Bryn Forbes, like Rudy Gay, like DeJounte Murray getting more minutes, Brandon Paul, and just new players, and then also old players like Kyle Anderson, Danny Green, you mentioned, getting increased roles? Do you think it's kind of that unfamiliarity that or maybe they have too much burden on them right now? Or do you think that it's the defenses that are really forcing them into these turnovers?
Well, I think this is kind of a cop-out answer, but I think it's a combination of, like we said earlier, I mean, Danny Green's trying to do a lot more dribbling this year. That's led to more turnovers because he gets into these situations where he kind of picks up his dribble and he doesn't know where he's going, or he goes to jump to pass the ball, and once you're in the air, you can't do anything. You have to get rid of the ball, so it becomes a turnover because there's no one to go. And you have Patty Mills, who's trying to handle the ball, who's really just a pick-and-pop guy or even a spot-up guy at times, so has increased. But you also have a bunch of new dudes who are trying to play with the old guys. Like Rudy Gay is getting a lot of minutes, which he should. He's playing really well. But he also has to become more familiar with how guys handle the ball and how maybe he can handle the ball a little more or a little less and let the guys who are supposed to distribute do more distributing. Or maybe he has to say, you know what, I'm going to bring the ball up, I'm going to initiate offense, and we're going to go, rather than saying, okay, I need to find someone to give the ball to so that we can initiate the offense. So I think it's a combination of all those things. I also think, again, you're missing that you're possibly your – maybe not your – I is obviously your best player, but – maybe your two most important players as far as being able to handle the ball, control the ball, and run the offense. Because even when Tony Parker doesn't have the ball in his hands, Kawhi Leonard can have the ball in his hands and he can initiate offense. The majority of the other guys on this team don't really do that. They don't. And DeJounte Murray's been all right, but he's for the most part, he's really a first-year starter. So he still has to get used to that. So I think it's a combination of all those things. So some of it's trying to do too much, not understanding when you should try to do too much or when you should try and force a play or, you know, force yourself to the rim or force yourself into the paint to get looks for other people or even to get up there and, you know, get to the free throw line. So it's that balance has to be found. And I think once Kawhi and or Tony Parker get back, there will be a little. It'll be a little easier for guys to ease back into their old roles. I do kind of like seeing Danny Green dribble a little bit, give a guy a pump fake and go by him and things like that. That is a much needed added dribbling and piece of offensive firepower that he has needed for some time because he was a very easy guard at times where it was just, okay, I have to make sure I don't give him an open three. Boom, my job is done. Now it's, okay, I actually have to guard him for a few dribbles because he can do things now. So I again, just Kawhi Leonard and Tony Parker need to get back as soon as possible.
Yeah, for me, I think it's a mixture, a little bit of two different elements here. One is like the familiarity. You know, you've seen guys try to make those side-to-side passes and then the guy's just not there. They throw it out of bounds. Or like yesterday against the Wolves, you know, Powell just like dribbled off his foot. It's just some random little turnovers here and there. But then a big other part of it is that I think that the physical defenses like the Bucks, like the Wolves, they can really they know that the Spurs want to go four down to LaMarcus. They don't have a lot of pick and roll players right now without Parker and Kawhi. And so by like the second half, they're really, or the second quarter, should I say, they're really, really trying to take away the post up from Aldridge, making him catch it further out. They're making entry passes into the post a lot tougher. So I think that's also a factor, is that the Spurs only have one real way to attack a team right now to break them down, and that's through the post up. And without Kawhi and Parker, two of their better pick and roll, their best pick and roll players, I'll just say that, it's hard for them to kind of get the defense going side to side, especially really good defensive teams who have really good athletes on either end, you know, elite players like I mentioned, the Bucks and the Wolves. So I would think that turnovers should start getting fixed a little bit better once against the better teams, should I say, once Kawhi and Parker do return, just like how you mentioned there. The next topic, Ben, I want to talk about is the Spurs in second quarters. This has kind of been a consistent trend for them. In wins and losses, the numbers just don't look pretty well right now. So in second quarters, they're scoring 93.2 points per 100 possessions, which is not a very good number. Yeah, it's bad.
No.
Then defensively, they're giving up 106.8 points per 100 possessions. So basically, in every second quarter through 15 games, the Spurs are getting outscored by 13.5 points per 100 possessions. Now, I'm trying to figure out here what's going on, and so I'll read you some lineup data. So basically, in games played, from like the top three lineups are like Patty Mills, Bryn Forbes, Danny Green, Rudy Gay, and Pau Gasol. They were minus 67.9 points per 100 possessions. Then in minutes played, it's like Mills, Manu, Gay, Aldridge, and Pau. They're a plus 17.5. There's another combo of like Mills, Forbes, Green, Kyle, and Aldridge. Plus 9.8. Now the most consistent guys, though, that are playing in second quarters are Aldridge, Green, Kyle Anderson, and Patty Mills. Then a little bit of, you know, Rudy Gay, Pau Gasol, Murray, Manu, Forbes, and Brandon Paul sprinkled in there. So, you know, the numbers obviously aren't good either way with different players on the floor. So let me just give you what I think is going on, and then see if you kind of agree with me or if you think it's something else. I think that without Kawhi here and Parker, teams know that the Spurs are going to kind of run the post-ups, and they'll have to adjust their game plan. Are we going to double Aldridge? Are we going to kind of guard him single coverage? You know, how are we going to try to help him trap him? Are we going to, you know, how's our help rotations? And so by the first quarter, the Spurs look okay because they're kind of exploiting those defenses. But I think that by the second quarter, defenses really do figure out how to guard Aldridge a little bit better, and that's why you see the Spurs' offense just go into a drought. And then, of course, if they're missing shots on one end or turning it over, then that's easy buckets on the other end, which opens up better defensive possessions for the better possessions for the opposite team. So do you kind of agree with that, or what do you think for the second quarters?
That is such a frustrating number to hear, that point differential. You could live with the 106 points per 100 possessions if you weren't scoring below 100. Yourself per possessions for the quarter, you know, assuming you're dead even in the first quarter, and you're losing 13.5 points every time a second quarter. I mean, you've dug yourself such a hole that no matter how good you play, no matter what your positive point differential is in the third and fourth quarter, or if you play them even those two quarters, it's just not going to be enough. And I think Pop needs to really mix and match some of the lineups. From what I've seen, Rudy Gay has been playing really well. I think he's proven he can play more minutes, because you can save him later in the season if you're so concerned about his Achilles or his feet, whatever it is. If you're so concerned about it, you can save him later in the season once Kawhi Leonard comes back. But there are some games here where the Spurs need to say, okay, you know what? I know it's kind of it's normally a situation where we kind of throw it in. You know, we throw in the white flag early in the fourth if it's out of hand, you know, if it's a 10 or 15 point game, but we need to win these. I think Pop has to say, we need to win these games. I need to explore my lineups. I mean, that the one you mentioned where they're outscoring by a ton of points, that's obviously a good lineup to have. But again, you can't run that lineup the entire second quarter because dudes have to get breaks. Mm. So you do need to find your balance there. And you like the lineup where you're losing out on all these points, obviously you cannot have that lineup in the game. You just have to avoid that lineup. And if that means playing other guys that you wouldn't play normally and giving them more minutes, so be it. Just you have to experiment. You have to be able – you have to say, listen – obviously, what we're doing is not working. We have to try something else. And I think some of those minutes should go to Davis Bertans, because everything I've seen and heard is in the few minutes he's getting, he's playing well. And he's just not getting enough minutes to me. And he played really well last season. And I think he's the perfect kind of, you know, four or a small ball five who keeps people out of the lane, and he can keep it open for Aldridge, and he can see over his defender if he needs to get it into Aldridge. And you can't, his man can't go double team because you have to stay out and you have to guard Bertans' shot. So I think experimenting with guys like that, I just think him and playing Rudy Gay a lot more minutes should help. Now, granted, you do need a ball handler in there, and you have to have one you can trust. So I think, honestly, where the problem is, because you pretty much trust all your – you trust your main bigs. You trust Pau Gasol, and you trust Aldridge to whatever they need to do. And even to an extent, Kyle Anderson has been all right this year. He hasn't been the kind of black hole people have seen in the last couple years. And Bryn Forbes has proven that he's a bucket getter. That's a guy you can have in the game. And then if you tell DeJounte, hey, listen, we don't need you to do too much. We just need you to facilitate, run the play properly, don't turn the ball over. If you have an open shot, fine, take it. Or if you think you can get to the rim, get to the rim. But you have to convince him not to do too much. I think maybe a lineup like in the second quarter, assuming they haven't played too many minutes already, a lineup like maybe Murray, Forbes, Rudy Gay, Aldridge, and maybe you throw one more shooter in there. Maybe you throw a Brandon Paul because he's kind of a bigger guy rather than Patty Mills. Mm-hmm. Or you throw a Danny Green if he hasn't played too many minutes, so you have a shooter. I think that's kind of a lineup that would be nice to see in the second quarter when the Spurs are giving up all these points.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, it comes down to more so like you mentioned, I think the key word you said there was a ball handler, and that's tough to do when they don't have Parker back or Kawhi back. So, it might be interesting to put in Bertans. Right now it's kind of Pau's using a lot more of Rudy Gay at the four and Aldridge at the five or Pau at the five with Gay at the four. So maybe moving Gay to the three and putting Bertans in at the four for a few spot minutes here, that could open up a little bit more offensively. Again, I think it just comes down to missing Kawhi and Parker. You need more weapons. The defense is going to understand how to break you down. They know you just want to go to Aldridge and his pick and pop or his post-ups, and you need more variety on offense. And Murray really hasn't, he's not there yet where he can kind of create his own shot and create an entire offense. Rudy Gay's kind of getting there. He can run the pick and roll a little bit. He doesn't do it enough just yet. And then Manu and Patty Mills, they're not getting as much minutes in that second quarter. So right now, I think it's still going to be an issue for them. I do think that when Parker and Kawhi return, that will help them out significantly more in that department of the second quarters.
It's ball handling. It's really guard play. That's what it comes down to. Yeah. And it just like in the NBA, just like when it comes to March Madness, if you have a team that controls the ball and doesn't turn it over and plays smart, you can win games that maybe you shouldn't. You really have no winning. That's why you see some upsets in the tournament sometimes. That and teams just crap out of the three. That's your recipe for an upset in March Madness. If we're trying to draw comparisons, hit threes, no low turnovers, smart offense. Boom. That's it. Keep it simple.
That's something the Spurs are just not getting just as of now.
This podcast is brought to you by ADT. When it comes to something as important as your family safety, you need real protection with ADT. What does real protection mean for you? Well, real protection means you can get all of the latest innovation in smart home security from ADT combined with 24/7 monitoring from the most trusted name in home security. You'll get a team of professionals designing and installing a secure smart home just for you, including 18,000 employees safeguarding you and your family, along with a connection to first responders. Your secure smart home includes everything from video doorbells and indoor and outdoor cameras to smart locks and lights controlled from the ADT Go app or the sound of your voice. You can also get professionally monitored carbon monoxide and smoke detectors. Everything is custom designed to fit your home, all from the nation's number one smart home security provider. You can even get safety on the go, in the car, or when the kids are at school with the ADT Go app with an SOS button. Ready to learn more? Visit ADT.com/podcast to learn more about how ADT can design and install a secure smart home just for you.
Let's go ahead and move on, Ben, to the Twitter questions. So we ask you, the fans, to send us Twitter questions using the hashtag SpursCast about the Spurs that you have on your mind for the week. So our first one comes from one of our own writers, Colin Reed, PS, one of our writers at Project Spurs. Colin asks, what do y'all think Kyle Anderson's place in the rotation will be post Kawhi's return? I think he is a sneaky candidate for the player most impacted by Leonard's return. So, Ben, I'll let you take that first. What do you think is going to happen to Kyle when Kawhi eventually returns?
It's not great, Bob. It's not great. I would agree with that. He's going to lose a lot of minutes. Unless he does something insane in the next few games or before Kawhi Leonard gets back, like he just goes off for some stupid number, like, you know, he has like 2 20-10 games or something, then I just don't see how he gets good rotation minutes. I mean, it's happened last year where he kind of fell out of the rotation because the minutes weren't there for him. So I think with a guy, you bring in Rudy Gay, who you like, who's been playing really well, and then Kawhi Leonard comes back, you there's just no minutes for him. So I think he's going to be relegated to the bench.
Yeah, I think that he's going to get that as long as Bertans doesn't show some more development and growth before Kawhi gets back. I think that he's going to be like their Boris Diaw as far as coming off the bench at the four with the second unit. So it'll be Rudy at the three and Kyle at the four, and then, you know, LaVern at the five. I think that's kind of where Pop wants him. But overall, he is going to lose minutes, like you mentioned. Pop is going to try to play so many minutes with Kawhi, Gay, and Aldridge out there. And so there's just no space for Kyle when those three are fully healthy and they're in a ball game and they need him down the stretch there. Even though he's showing way more playmaking this year, he's attacking the glass. He's able to run the pick and roll. He gets by defenders. He can kind of attack the rim on closeouts. It's the fact that he doesn't have the spacing on offense where defenders still back off him that I think that makes him, when it comes down to Pop running Kawhi and Aldridge out there, he's going to lose some minutes there because of that flaw in his offensive game at the moment. So I think Colin's right in just asking the question that we both agree that Kyle's going to lose some minutes here when Kawhi eventually does return. Our next question, Ben, comes from @GameStill1. They ask, I think Pop is great, but sometimes he kills everything. So do you guys see any slippage? He has players who need time like Davis, Bryn Forbes, and Brandon Paul, but he plays our older players on back-to-backs like he wants to lose. So I think this fan's just a little frustrated with, on the second night of back-to-backs, he probably wants to see, you know, the young guys play and see what they can do. And I think this is more so coming off the loss of the Wolves, where, the older players like Manu, Patty Mills played, and not the younger guys. What do you think about this question?
That's a great question. I like that question. I would agree. I think that's a great idea. It goes to a little bit of what I said earlier about, you know, you have to make sure it's the right kind of game for that, where it's not one of those games where you feel like you really need to win it. You really need the older guys to win it. So, and I do think the younger players need to see that kind of crunch time in a game, like, you know, it's a close game. And, you know, what are they going to do? Are they going to freeze? Are they going to step up? Are they going to make plays? We don't know what they're going to do because they've never been in that situation. So I do think Pop needs to try in that situation so they understand what it's like, understand what is required of them at the moment.
Yeah, and – oh, go ahead.
No, that's all you, man.
Okay, cool. I thought it got cut off. Okay, so, yeah, I mean, I think that it depends on the situation right now because they're in a situation where they're missing two of their better players. They kind of have to get as many wins as they can get right now. So I think that if, let's say, Kawhi was healthy to start the year, and maybe they're like, instead of being 9-6, they're like 10-4 or 10-5, something like that, a little bit better record. I think he has more flexibility in playing some of the younger players. Outside of Davis, Forbes and Paul have been given a great opportunity here early on without Kawhi. So I think that it more so comes down to the situation of the team right now. If they're healthy, I think the young guys get a lot more run, and if they're not, Pop still needs to keep the Spurs within, you know, the top five of the West as far as seeding goes, and try to get them as many wins as possible.
Absolutely, it's situational winning, you could almost say, where, you know, we're going to talk about this later. You know, Spurs have two games coming up. You know, Thunder's probably a tough game, maybe not that one, but you know, the Hawks are a weird team, but they're not very good.
No.
And that's a team where your young guys should get a lot of minutes.
Yeah, and I think when we talk about that in a little bit, they definitely will get some minutes there. Our next question comes from @chillin072. They ask, when Kawhi returns, who will be the biggest casualty? And I'll just refer back to Colin's question, which I think is going to be Kyle Anderson. Do you have anybody else different that you think will lose their minutes because of Kawhi?
No, I think it's Kyle Anderson.
Okay. Yeah, so we both agree it's going to be Kyle Anderson. Most likely it's impacted the most by Kawhi's return when he eventually does come back. Our next question comes from one of our former Project Spurs writers, Trevor Zitgraf, @TrevorWrites. He asks, is Brent Forbes the second coming of Gary Neal or Patty Mills?
I love that question so much. Oh, man. Trevor, you're my guy. If you listen to this, you're my dude. That question is one of the greatest questions I've ever gotten to answer.
He's a big Arizona guy, too. He loves all the Arizona players you read about.
Oh, yes, perfect. Oh, today is just getting better and better. All right, I'm going to go ahead and answer this question because I love that. I love that question. I would say Gary Neal because Bryn Forbes just sometimes has this irrational confidence that Gary Neal just made a living off of. Like, dude, didn't matter what gym Gary Neal walked into. He assumed he was going to make every bucket. It didn't matter if he missed the first 15 shots. He always assumed the next one was going up or was going in, and he always shot his shot from wherever. He didn't care. He didn't care how stupid that shot was, how, you know, like 3 feet beyond the three-point line, he's like, no, I'm going to hit this. This is my shot. That's Gary Neal. I live for Gary Neal. That is my spirit animal. I wish I had the irrational confidence that Gary Neal has. Now, I don't think Bryn Forbes has as much irrational confidence, but he is a very good shooter, and he's one of those guys where you look at him and you're just kind of like, oh, this guy, Bryn Forbes, who's this guy? And then he hits one in your grill piece, and you're like, oh snap, that's Bryn Forbes. Okay. That's kind of what Gary Neal did at first when he got into the league. People were kind of unsure, like, who is this guy? Is he like the Spurs picked him up, so he must be okay. Like, is he any good? And then, like, he was a huge factor. You know, the Spurs lost the 2013 finals, but he was a huge factor in that series. And I will forever love him for that. So I would say Bryn Forbes is probably closer to a Gary Neal than a Patty Mills as far as irrational confidence goes and being able to get off his own shot rather than just being kind of a spot.
Yeah, I agree with you as well. You know, and even looking at some of the lineup data from cleaningtheglass.com, right now, actually, Bryn Forbes is doing something that Gary and both Patty don't do. He's playing more minutes as a wing, which means he's having to guard twos and threes on possessions and play at that shooting guard / small forward spot. Gary mostly played as a combo guard, and then Patty plays specifically as a point guard right now. So I think that, again, he's close to Gary Neal, and you're right. I see Forbes as more of a cautious, irrational confidence guy, meaning like he has to make two in a row, and then all of a sudden you see that swagger kick into him where he's like, okay, I'm going to make this next one. I'm going to drive on somebody. You saw it against the Wolves. He made two open threes. By the third one, he's like taking guys off the dribble and shooting like fadeaway jumpers. So he's a little bit more of like he needs to get in a rhythm, and then once he gets that first shot to go in, once he sees the ball go through the hoop, his confidence just – you know, just goes to another level. Whereas you were right, Gary Neal can miss 12 shots in a row, and the guy's gonna take 13 shots like he's made them all. So there's a little bit more like I would say safe, like there's like more of a cautious aspect to Bryn Forbes' irrational confidence, but he has it in him, and that's what the Spurs will need at times in certain games when the ball's not falling. And I think that's why when I mentioned the offense is struggling in the second quarter, that's why a lot of these lineups do have Bryn Forbes in them, because Pop is looking for him to come in off the bench there in that second quarter and bring forth some offense since they're missing that. Right now. So, yeah, I think we both agree that it's Gary Neal that's closer to what Bryn Forbes is projecting out to be.
Bryn Forbes is like he's a threshold irrational confidence guy. Like you said, like he has to reach a certain threshold, and then the irrational confidence comes out, and it stays there.
It's not just Whereas, Rodney Mesa. Yeah,
like Gary Neal is just like, he puts on his underwear in the morning. He's like, Irrational Confidence is the greatest pair of underwear I've ever worn. Look at me wear these look at me wear this pair of underwear. It's the greatest pair of underwear you've ever laid your eyes upon. That's Gary Neal every morning, I hope.
Yeah, he's just ready to go, right, to kick off the day. All right. Our last question is a little bit different than a normal basketball question, but I'm just going to ask it. It comes from one of our other writers, Steven Anderson, at I'm Steve Anderson. He asked, now this one was actually, these last two questions about Brent Forbes and then also the one that Steven's about to ask, they were actually meant for the last Spurs cast, but I didn't see them in the hashtag. So I'm asking them, that's what I'm asking you right now, just to bring them forth. Steven asks, which Spur would you cast in season 3 of Stranger Things and why?
All right. Disclosure. Haven't gotten to see the second season yet. I know I'm the worst. But I did watch the first season, so I do know what Stranger Things is. Mm-hmm. If I had to do it, if I had to pick a guy, I would pick Patty Mills solely because of his hairstyle. And it is very like late 80s, early 90s, the way that falls about his head. And you could easily make him look like a monster. So I'm going with that.
You go Patty Mills? Okay. I'm actually going with Manu, and just because I feel like Manu would be a good guy for like a role where he's like some sort of like researcher or scientist who's like trying to figure out the upside down area. He kind of fits in that aspect, and you can just tell just based on like his Twitter history and his Instagram and stuff where he's like always reading about science articles and he's talking about podcasts with science stuff. So like I think that he's kind of in that realm. So I would choose Manu if I had to cast one of the Spurs into Stranger Things. Okay, so Ben, the last part of our Spurs cast, we're going to go ahead and predict the Spurs' next two games. Now, I only say two games. Okay. Next week is like kind of like a short week because of the holiday, Thanksgiving. So we're only going to kind of preview the OKC game and then the Atlanta game here. And I'll ask you for your picks. And then okay. From there. So let me just give you the Spurs' current stats. Right now, offensively, they're 16th in the NBA. 104.5 points per 100 possessions is what they're putting up. Defensively, they are 5th in the NBA. Holding teams to 100.2 points per 100 possessions. So on Friday, they host the Oklahoma City Thunder for the first time. The Thunder come in 7-7, tied for 8th place in the Western Conference. Offensively, the Thunder actually worse than the Spurs. They're only scoring 103.8 points per 100 possessions, ranked 18th in the league. Now defensively, they're a top 2 defense. They're 2nd right now, holding teams to 97.6 points per 100 possessions.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I checked the all that length and all those their slower possessions.
But yeah, Melo.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's the crazy thing is they're hiding Melo, but it's working so far. So I did check the projected lineups and it looks like Steven Adams is listed as out for that game. So Ben, sorry about that. Who do you think wins that game Friday night between the Spurs and OKC?
I have the Spurs win that game. I think OKC is just too dysfunctional right now. Their defense might be really good, but they have no idea what they're doing on offense at times. And they have the 3 guys, and that's it. Like I'm letting Andre Roberson take every shot he wants. That dude is one of the worst shooters I have ever seen ever. And if you force the ball out of their hands and let him shoot and force Steven Adams into anything outside of the paint, I would be very comfortable with that. So, and I think that's very much a possibility because those 3 dudes cannot play the entire game. As good as they are and as young and healthy as they are, they cannot play the entire game. So I think the Spurs can take advantage of that. They're just going to have more versatility defensively and offensively because when the Spurs get on the floor, they don't really have a guy like Steven Adams where you have to feed an alley-oop or you have to get it to him right at the rim.
Okay, yeah, I was going back and forth with this, man. I was really – on the one hand, that offensive stab by the Thunder really, really throws me off. And I've watched them a few times this year, probably like 5 times now. I've seen those games where they really just cannot close out games in the fourth quarter because of their issues on offense where they don't know who to go to. They don't have a really good system just yet. You mentioned defense is just back off of Robertson. They had to take him out in the last 5 minutes of games. But that second part, the defensive part, that they're the second best defense, I think that's something San Antonio really has trouble with right now is really good defensive teams. That's been a big part of a lot of their losses. So I'm actually going to take OKC in this one. I think I'm going to pick Thunder in this one. So I have Thunder, you have the Spurs in that first one. Okay, then the Spurs, they have 2 days of rest, Saturday and Sunday. Then Monday they host the Atlanta Hawks, who are 3-12 this season. 15
blowout.
Worst in the East. Offensively, they're 21st, 102.8 points per 100 possessions. Defensively, they're scoring 100. They're holding. The teams are scoring 106.4, which is 22nd. So you already say blowout. So I agree with you as well. I think the Spurs. It's kind of be like a little bit like the Bulls game. Not as bad, but the Spurs will probably knock that team out of the park.
Their best game of the year. I think it was their last game. They beat the living bejesus out of the Kings, and I'm pretty sure they actually set a new franchise record for largest margin of victory against the Kings. Yeah, so I don't see them doing that again.
Yeah, it was like, I think it was 46 points was their largest victory ever in franchise history.
Yeah, something insane. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's a lot. So, yeah, and you're right. I don't think they can do that to the Spurs. Okay, so Spurscast listeners, by the time I record the next episode, probably on next Wednesday, Tuesday or Wednesday, the Spurs, I'm predicting we'll probably be 10-7, and Ben's projecting they'll be 11-6. Now, Ben, I had went on Twitter right before we got on the podcast, and I had asked, I put a quick Twitter poll of what the fans thought that the Spurs would be by this time next week, and they agreed with you. 49%, the majority picked the Spurs to be 11-6, so they think they're going to beat the Thunder and the Hawks here. So you have the majority going with you, and then 43% they go 1-1 against those teams, which obviously the loss would be to the Thunder. Okay, Ben, thank you again, man, for coming on here. Please provide your Twitter hashtag, your Twitter handle, please.
I am @the_Boomstein.
Okay, so make sure again to follow Ben @the_Boomstein on Twitter. Catch up for him. Look out for his draft prospect pieces. He's doing a great job with those every single week. Trying to project who the Spurs might get once the draft comes around later on in June, toward the end of the year. All right, Ben, thanks again, man.
Absolutely.
Thank you again to Ben for joining me on this Spurscast episode 470. You can follow him on Twitter @the_Boomstein. And just a few reminders, please remember, if you have a question regarding the Spurs, we're having this Spurscast every week. So you can use the hashtag Spurscast to get that question to us, and we will address it on the Spurscast. If you're on Twitter, please follow @ProjectSpurs, @ATLeague_NBA, @TheSpursCast, and @ProjectSpursNetwork. Also be sure to follow some of our sites, projectspurs.com, analyzingtheleague.com, spursonsix.com, and then our new site, projectspurs.net. And lastly, of course, if you're on iTunes and you're listening to this podcast right now, please leave us a rating and review on iTunes. Thank you. Have a great day.